Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
It's like, I don't want to play school. It's like, let's play school. I don't want to play school. She's like, come on, I'll be the teacher and you're the student. I said, I don't want to play school, the little one said. And the big one kept insisting and said, well, we're going to play school. Till the little one said, okay, let's do something then. You're the teacher, I'm the student. Mark me absent. You know? Unfortunately, that is the attitude of some Christians towards church. Just mark me absent. I won't make it to Sunday. It's not, no big deal, right? Missing a Sunday, what can that do to you? And, you know, really and truly, let's just say this. If that's your attitude, missing a Sunday won't do anything to you. You got that? If really that is your attitude, if you think, well, you know, missing a Sunday won't hurt me, guess what? It won't. Because when you come, it won't hurt you either. That hurt, right? But that's the thing, that we need to value the time that we spend together. We need to value being members and being part of the church, right? And that is so, so important. And what is the problem that we have in church? Why is it? Have you thought about this? You know, so many of the young people, the millennials, they're leaving church. They're not coming back. You know, I see some of young faces here, and the probabilities of you, once you become and you make your own decisions and no longer mom and dad bring you to church or make you come to church, the statistics say that most likely 85% of you won't go back to a church on your own. Isn't that sad? We're talking about generations that we're losing. It used to be that 78% of people were in churches every Sunday in the United States. It went down to 66%. And back a few years back, maybe 3 or 4 years back, when they did I always get this word wrong in English. I don't know why. But survey is the word. They did a bunch of surveys, and including Tom Rainer did some surveys, and he surveyed 557 churches, and 15% of millennials are actually going to church. 15%. The other 85, they either don't believe in God or believe that the God that they were taught is not meaningful, or whatever other reasons I can give you, but I don't want to go through that. But what is the problem? I tell you what the problem is. The church is made of imperfect people, human beings. We are human. I mean, and people get discouraged about each other. I just visited a family this past week, went and visited them, and they're like, well, I said, hey, I haven't seen you in a few weeks in church. It's been probably a month or so. Oh, yeah, we've been very busy. Yeah, we've been out of town and came back. You know, it's just that with my wife's new job, we've been in and out. And I said, really? Wow, that's pretty sad. Well, I'm so glad that you guys are okay, that your wife is working, and I've been praying for you guys. As a matter of fact, I've driven by your house 5 times in the last 2 weeks and actually stopped in front of your house and prayed for your family 5 times. I just wanted to let you know that we're concerned. Scratching his head. He just kept scratching his head. Yeah, we've been busy. And I said, is everything okay? Want me to let you in a little secret? I already knew. Somebody had already told me about it. Upset? Yes, because for some reason, they wanted to serve in the church and they were not given the opportunity. And I said, you know what? I'm sorry that we failed you. Finally, because I had to tell them, I know why you're not coming to church. It's because of this. Because you've been telling everybody else, but you don't want to tell me. I'm your pastor. Come on, be honest with me. It's okay. I'm not going to bite you. I'll try not to. But, you know, I said, it's okay. If you feel discouraged like that, it's fine. It's no problem. We've all felt discouraged in church because of what the pastor said or did, or his wife said or did, or his whatever, or someone else, or whoever. It's fine. Just tell me about it. But then, of course, I knew that my wife had personally sat down with them in my office twice about serving and what to do and how they could be useful in church. Twice. So, you know, misunderstandings and things, I'm still praying for them. He told me, well, we're going to another little church. I'm like, ah, if you're going to another little church, you'll find a lot to do over there. It's fine. Go at it. Full force. And if they discourage you, you can always come back. Or you can go somewhere else and get discouraged. Or you can keep going. It's all on you. I just want to let you know this is your family. We love you. If you want to come back, it's your house. It's amazing. Membership in the church is taken so lightly. Don't you forget, we are a family. And you just don't walk out on your family just because you're discouraged. But I'm getting on this soapbox and I need to get out. And this is Tom Rainer uses an illustration similar to that of two church members who are talking, and they're talking to each other. One of them says, well, I got to tell you, you know, I'm kind of discouraged at the church because I see a lot of hypocrisy. You see any of that around here? Well, you must be blind. It happens. Well, I see a lot of hypocrisy, and I'm just kind of discouraged. So my wife and I decided that we're just going to quietly go to another church. Talk about hypocrisy. People are going to be able to see it now in the other church when they get there. You think about all of that, you see? And then he tells his friend, well, you know what? I know that you guys are so encouraged at the church and you guys are so into it. And we don't want to mess with you, but you know, but we're leaving. We don't want to mess with you, but I'm telling you, I'm putting this little thing in your head. There's something wrong in the church. Yeah. You know, I'm going to ask you a favor. You, my people, my family, the sheep that God has entrusted me, I'm going to ask you a big, big, huge favor. And I promise you, I will do the same thing myself. Whenever you're discouraged or something, look in the mirror. You might be the problem. It's amazing how many times I come to my wife or people whom I trust and I tell them, I. Because I got to look at myself first. So you do that too. We do it together and instead of looking at each other. But it's like this country club mentality. Anybody ever belong to a country club or something like that, or a social club before? You know, you get to go in. You get to use the pool. You get to use the golf course. You get to use the recreational center. And you pay your dues, and it's all you. It's all you. I have all my rights and privileges there. I can do whatever I want. I get to enjoy it. And you know what? I want you to enjoy belonging to the family of God. I want you to enjoy the membership at church. But when you start going to the country club and you're a member and you start complaining, the pool's not clean. I'm going to go complain. You know that cheeseburger place there they have in the country club? Somebody's not making them. Oh, no, those cheeseburgers don't taste right. Something wrong there. Well, I tripped over in the golf course. Somebody needs to come over and fix that. Because I'm a member, I pay my dues, and they need to have this place the way I like it and want it. That doesn't happen in church. Excuse me, are you the music minister? How about you change your music a little bit? You know, singing about Easter on a Sunday like this, it just doesn't go. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Forever he is glorified because he came out of the grave, all that stuff. I don't know. Maybe you need to. You're like a month and a half behind. We were singing that a month and a half, Louise. What's wrong with you? Get up today, bro. You know, Pastor, I love you. Can you just make your sermons just a tad shorter? You know, it's just, it's so amazing, so cool. I mean, I wish I could be an employee of the church. Work one day a week, get paid for the full week. Oh, yeah. I don't know why the church doesn't. You know what the church needs to do? They need to. Hold on one second. When you address the church like that, that means that you don't belong to it. Gotcha. You got to think about these things, right? I mean, I give all this money and I don't see. I want to give, but I want to give for. You know what? I go every Sunday. I even go to a small group on during the week, and I give. What else do they want from me? I don't have time. I'm a busy person. Have you ever heard any of those? Have you ever heard yourself saying any of those? Wow, let's not look at each other loud. How many of you want to change the church? Oh, amen. Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. I do too. It starts with changing myself. You were scared to answer there, right? Some of you are like, oh, I can tell you a bunch of changes I'd like to make in church. Okay, well, it starts with me. Amen? Let's start with you. Personal, right? All right. So what does it mean to be a church member? Let's just go. First of all, being a church member means that we're all necessary parts of the whole. We are necessary parts of the whole. But let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because in all this great stuff that I've been giving you already, I forgot to read the word. Ain't that something? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read in verses 12 through 27. For even as the body is one and yet has many, what? Members. That's what we're going to talk about. And all of the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, or it is not for this reason any the less as part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, or I have no need for you. And to the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which were deemed less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, given more abundant honor to the member. To that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Amen. How many times did the word member appear there? Anybody counting? I didn't count them. I didn't even want to. So that's enough, right? There's plenty right there. You see, and this is not the only place. There are plenty of numbers in the New Testament where we can see a clear picture of church membership or church belonging and the importance to be attached to a certain congregation. And of course, we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talking about spiritual gifts and the importance. You see, Paul talks about spiritual gifts here, but he establishes first. Before we talk about the gifts of each other, let's talk about the belonging of each other. The importance of belonging and the importance that it is all for one purpose, one body, for all of us to enjoy, for all of us to suffer, for all of us to rejoice. Whatever happens, whatever gifts you get, whatever happens, it's all about oneness. It's all about all of us together. And then he goes on in chapter 13 to talk about what? Love. And then in chapter 14, he goes on to talk about more problems in the church of Corinth. So it is all meshed up. And it's all messed up. But we don't want it to be messed up. We just want it to be meshed up. You see, the importance of being one, the importance of knowing your place in the body and what to do because you have a gift to serve with, and then to do it in love and to make sure that we don't have problems with it. It's an amazing thing what God does when he puts his word in order for all of us. See, this is not just any business. This is God's business. And we need to look at it in a different light. This is not just a corporation. This is God. This is God's kingdom. It's totally different. And verse 27 and 28 says that we are one body in Christ. We are the body of Christ, but we are individual members of it, individual members of it. And God has placed us in this church. You see, that is a big difference. When you're out there in any organization or club, yeah, if they don't accept you, you're not getting in, but you go for it, right? You've been chosen by God, and you didn't have to pay to belong. You didn't have to pay to belong to this body. But yet, there is something that you can do to serve within the body. It's important that we understand that this metaphor of the body that God carries out through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians is to really give us a sense of belonging and unity among all of us and between us. This is very important. Now, I want you to see a thing that I thought, that was pretty intense. Now, if you look at some of the verses, you'll see that he talks about what? The hands, the feet. He even talks about nose. Who wants to talk about nose? The sense of smell. Some of you are noses. Some of you are hands. Some of you. Who wants to be a nose? No. All of us could be nosy. Right? But you see, these are members of the body which are, you know, play their own function. Some of them are visible. He mentions some of them, like hands and feet and nose and eyes, those are visible members of the body. But then he mentions another group. He says the weaker members, the weaker members. And then he mentions another group, the privates. Huh? What are you talking about, Pastor? He says there are private members, members that we cover in the body. As a matter of fact, it says there, verse 23... It says, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, it says, on these we bestow more abundant honor. Actually, the word there is clothe. So it would be, on these we clothe with abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, right? So there are members of the body that you cover to make them presentable. Why would Paul talk about stuff like that? Why would God inspire such words, right? This is amazing. But you have to think, within the body of Christ, within the church, there are people who do public ministry. There are people who are always standing in front of the light or under the light or under the spotlight. See, that would be somebody like me, somebody who's teaching, somebody who's leading. We're like the ears and noses and eyes in the church, those type of members who are always doing something that everybody sees. And then there are other members who are a little weaker, right? Now let's talk about these internal members of the body. You see, God has given you this to cover your flesh and bones, to protect some of those members of your body like your liver and your heart and all of those things that are very important. Do they play an important function in the body? Of course they do. But they are weaker in the sense that they could be, oh my God, they could be hurt so easily. So God protects them. There are other members outside that don't need so much protection. And then there are private parts of the body which we cover to give him honor. Because it'll be dishonorable if we didn't cover them. And you see, in the body of Christ, we may have people that are truly, the visible people are the people who are always acting and in places where they can be seen. And those are the people that people pay most attention to, and those are the people that get most criticized and whatever, because everybody sees their mistakes. It's so easy for people to see when I make a mistake. Some of you, nobody would ever know that you make a mistake because you are internal, because you're not in such a public eye. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you're less of a member. I mean, think about it. We're gonna prefer the hands to the heart? No. You see, you can live without a hand, but without a heart, you don't, right? So you think about that. But there are others who are covered. Now, you see, and this may be a wild illustration or taken a little bit too far, but think about the members of the church who do things behind closed doors and never want to be seen. Some of those people who say, hey, I did this, but don't tell anybody. I gave this, but don't tell anybody. Or they just do a whole bunch of stuff that nobody notices because nobody knows that what they're doing is behind the curtains. But they're working hard. You see that? They all have a purpose. We all have a purpose within the body. So whether you're one of those members in church that have to do with public and have to be the face and have to be the hands and the feet in the church, praise the Lord for you. If you're one of those church members that are inside, internally, doing things. You know, there are some people who you don't know. There's some people who you never known that they've been here every single Sunday praying at 6 o'clock in the morning on this altar, every single Sunday praying for you and me. Did you know that there are people like that in this church? Every Sunday at 6 in the morning, there's a bunch of people praying here. And nobody knows. That's secret. Unless you come at 6 o'clock in the morning and do it yourself and you'll see them. You see? And that's okay. And then there are some of you who are doing things downstairs and behind so that all the things that happen up here would happen. And nobody gives them credit. But they're okay with that. So we have different members in the church, and it's okay. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a function. You know, everybody has to do what they're supposed to do. We are all different, but we still work together. You see, we all work together. We all work together. Right now I'm preaching to you. I'm giving you all these words, and you have this little paper to write it down. And if it wasn't for John to make the copies, and then he went ahead and cut them up, nobody knew that. Did you know that John does that? You didn't know that, right? But he does it. Does he come up here saying, hey, I cut these for you. Hey, everyone, you're going to take notes. You need me. Without me, you ain't taking notes because I'm bringing you the papers, right? Nobody knows that. But those are the kind of things that I'm talking about. So, and then if a member suffers, in verse 26 says, then we all suffer. And then if a member rejoices, then we all rejoice. We work together. This is a together thing. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if a member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, hold on one second, because I changed the words there and you didn't even notice. I said, if a member rejoices, then we all rejoice. No, it says, if a member is honored, we all rejoice. How many of you truly rejoice when somebody else is honored? That's good. Think about that. I rejoice with other people's achievements. I rejoice with other people's triumphs. I rejoice when brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so does or whatever. And that's what we need to do for each other. Because we, no matter what so-and-so did, it's all for the body and I benefit from it. But let's go to the next one. You see, membership means that everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love. Everything we say and do should or it needs to be, it has to be, it's supposed to be, you know, on a biblical foundation of love. Love. Love is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It is. It is. Now, if we read in chapter 13, let's just move a little bit and let's go chapter 13 and look at what it says about love. Let's see. I think it's verse 4. Yeah, verse 4. Check it out. Starting in verse 4. This is classic. We've been reading. I mean, I've been doing so many weddings this year. I've read this passage so many times because people at weddings are like, oh, 1 Corinthians 13, please. You know? Like it's, and I've read it a couple of times throughout the last few weeks here with the sermons. But love is patient, love is kind, and it's not jealous. Love does not brag, and it's not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. What an amazing thing. But if you look at, I just want to pull out a few of those there, a few of the negatives. Let's see some of the negatives that are there. Does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own. Well, the first, it starts in verse 4. It says, not jealous, does not brag, it's not arrogant. You think about it. So then, how are we supposed to do it? Contrary to that, we need to do it with patience, kindness, joyful for others, humility, modesty, being proper, selfless, meekness, and forgiving. Now, those descriptions that I gave you, those adjectives are the positive of the negatives that you see in that passage. I just gave you the opposites. You know how you can go online and search for antonyms? You know what an antonym is? It means the contrary to a word. So that's what I did. Simple. And that's what you get. That means that everything that we need to do it patiently. Because not everybody is as fast as you. Not everybody is as smart as you. Not everybody is as good as you. So be patient. You know? Be kind. Be kind. Be joyful for others. Once again, I said rejoice for others in their triumphs, right? It rejoices when other people are really excelling. With humility, don't be arrogant. Humility, modesty, being proper, selflessness, meekness. Meekness means self-control. Control yourself. Oh, my God. I like one of my friends, he uses this phrase a lot. Man, that's out of control, right? But, you know, we need to be in control. We need to be in control. And forgiving, of course. It says that doesn't keep a record of wrongdoing. Don't, you know. That's the kind of way. That's just, you see, a lot of times we look at this stuff and we think that's what we need to do. No, that's what we need to attach to everything we do. That's the kind of way we need to be doing everything that we do and everything that we say. We just need to understand that this is the kind of love that God wants, not just for a married couple or marriage. This is a love that God wants for the church, for each and every one of us. And remember that this chapter is placed right smack in the middle. If you look at its context, when Paul is talking about the church, he's not talking about marriage, he's talking about the church. But I tell you what, these are principles that we all need to place in our hearts. And everything that we do and say, we need to do it that way. That's the idea. Now, have any of you ever heard something like this? I want you to listen to this sound. As a matter of fact, close your eyes. Listen to this. Okay, let's stop it right there, because what did you just hear? What was that? A what? Don't be a gong. Don't be a gong. As a matter of fact, right there in chapter 13 and verse 1, what does it say? If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You want to hear it again? No, me neither. See, Louise was ready to push that button. He's like, yeah, let's do it again. That didn't sound right. Can you imagine listening? I mean, it's funny when you watch a movie and you hear and you go, ha, oh, Daniel-san, whatever, you know, Karate Kid or something. Some of you are looking at me like, was that movie from your time, Pastor? Yeah. But I want you to think of that. See, love. Whatever you do and you don't do it in love, it doesn't matter what you do or how you do it, if it's not born out of love, then that's exactly what it sounds like. And if you want to prove something, go to bed and put one of those YouTube videos with a bunch of gongs and go try to fall asleep. Right? It's not lovely. It's not very lovely. It's not soothing. You see, but we're not to love just the fellow church members just because they're lovable. That's one of the problems. Well, I love so-and-so because they're, oh my God, I love so-and-so. You're so impressed with them, you love them. What about the ones that don't impress you so much? What about the people who are unlovable? Those are the ones that we need to love. You see, I'm going to pray for my leader. I'm going to pray for my pastor. I'm going to pray for my teacher. Well, that's great when everything's going well. But when something is said that you don't like, you're like, praying for him? Yeah, right. I'm going to pray that God corrects them. Yeah, I need that too. But be careful with your attitude. It's got to be done in love. Even if you pray for me to be struck by God so that I can come back to where I need to be, that's fine. Do that. But do it in love. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Just pray for me, all right? I need it. We are to pray and encourage each other out of love. We are to serve the church in love, for love. And the only reason is love. We are to serve every single one of our neighbor. Who is my neighbor? You remember somebody that asked that in the Bible? Who is my neighbor? Like, let me choose. Basically, what the guy was saying, can I choose my neighbor? I want to choose my neighbor. I want to choose whom I love and serve and do. And Jesus said, you know what? You don't get to choose. You don't get to choose your neighbor. That's it. That's all there is to it. You just love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? See, some people do things in church simply because they're asked to do. Well, you know, they asked me to do this, so I might as well do it because, you know, I guess I got to help them because without me, the world doesn't turn. I'm afraid that the world's going to stop turning if I don't do this, you know. Or maybe they think that. Or maybe people sometimes do things because, well, nobody else wants to do it. I guess I'll be the, you know, sacrifice here. It's okay. Or maybe I'll just serve, you know, simply because, you know, I don't want them to say anything about me. You know, if I don't do it, they're going to be yakety yak. So, you know what? I'll just go ahead and do it, get it over with. Whatever reason, some people simply do things because there's a need. Have you ever seen that? Well, there is a need, so I guess I need to cover it. Well, praise the Lord for wanting to cover the need, but do it in love. Cover that need in love. Because even if you see a need and you're the sacrificial goat or lamb, I'm sorry, and you go in there and you do whatever it needs to be done because nobody else would, but I am willing, but you don't do it in love, you sound just like that gong. So don't be a gong, okay? Quit gonging around. That's what we need to do as members of the church. Now, this is me, okay? If you're going to quote this, then I get the royalty. I'm going to give you something. Service based on needs loses its luster after a while. But when it's based on love, it'll shine. You hear that? When you serve based on a need, after a little while, it'll lose its luster. But when you serve out of love, it just keeps shining. It just keeps shining. All right, let's go to the last point here, because I promised a shorter sermon according to the introduction, didn't I? As a functioning member, you know, church membership means then that I need to be a functioning member. Me personally, we all need to be functioning members. You can be, like I said, the member of a country club where you pay your dues and they have to serve you. Or you become part of the body of Christ where he paid for you and you need to be serving and working and doing. Now, so how do I functionally, or how do I function as a member of the church? First of all, I give abundantly and serve without hesitation. Yes, the pastor's talking about giving. Yes, I am. You know, Some churches keep you on. Some people think that because they give financially, then that keeps them on the roll of a congregation or a church membership roll. Yeah, that could be true, but, you know, that's not the right way. A church member needs to be an active member, not just from the pocket, from the heart, from the mind, from the hands, and from his whole. Some people even say that there are CEO Christians. Have you ever heard of a CEO Christian? A CEO Christian is Christmas and Easter only Christian. No. That doesn't work in our Hispanic service. It'll be Mother's Day Christian, because that's the highest attendance in the year in a Hispanic church. Ain't that something? Mother's Day. But that's another $20. I'll preach that another day. I mean, you could become a member of a local congregation in so many different ways that could be wrong, but the only way is when you have been baptized into the body. And if you look at chapter 12 in verse, let's see, where am I? Yeah, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. One Spirit. That is important to know. You see, it is not that we become members of the church because we are members of the body of Christ because he. That's a big difference, because of what he's done. You see, if you approach church membership in a man-made way, it becomes man-centered and it's man-maintained. And that's not what we want in the church. That goes totally against what the Bible teaches. You see, not only you should give abundantly and serve with no hesitation, you should also serve with no strings attached and give with no strings attached. See, when you truly are a member of the church, you give and you do and you serve without your conditions, without placing so many conditions. Here's a great example. For example, we have collected almost $30,000 in the last couple of months, almost $30,000, simply or directly or intended for the purpose of buying the land behind the church, which we have already paid off, by the way. Even when all of our pledges are not all in, we have already paid it off, thank God. But you see, we came up with a little plan, and we decided to ask the congregation among all of us to say, hey, let's all pledge together, get together, so that we can pay for it. And this is simple math that I always tell people when they ask me about stuff like this. Simple math. God is the simplest at math. It's not complicated. You, every one of us, including me, we tithe and we give our offering from the heart abundantly. We wouldn't have to be asking for a single penny to buy no land. If each and every one of you, and me would give what's really belonging to God from all of our hearts, we wouldn't have to ask for a single penny for anything at all. The problem is when we don't. That's why we have to think, hey, we're going to have to run a pledge drive. We're going to have to ask the people. And then what happens is that during those drives, some of the people who don't normally give, they say, well, I guess I can help. Bam. And those who are givers and always generous say, of course we're going to do this, and even give more. And then when we all pay everything off, all of a sudden we go back to normal. I go back to whatever normal. But what should be normal for a church member? A normal church member, a true church member, the way it's intended in the Word of God, is a generous and joyous giver, period. Every time, all the time, not just when they're compelled by something special. This is very important that we understand. This is something very important. If you were to belong to a country club and you don't pay your dues 1 month, guess what they're going to do? They're going to send you an email, brother. They're going to send you a text. They're going to send you snail mail. Or call you. Yo, where you do that? We don't do that around here. Because we know you're not paying for your membership. Jesus already paid for that. But because he paid for it with a price that's much, much, much bigger than what I can give, I give out of the abundance and joy and gratefulness of my heart. Amen? As simple as that. So, this is simple. See, it should be natural. It should be natural for the Christian to give and to serve without hesitation, without strings attached, without having to say, okay, I'll give this if. I'll do that if. I'll serve if. It's like, well, if the men get together and do this, I will participate. If the leaders do this, then I will. If the pastor. If. So many ifs. Don't bring those to the table. Bring yourself to the table and just serve and give the way you're supposed to. We're supposed to be unified and work for each other, and each one has, you know, a function. We're all either a foot or a hand or an eye or a nose or whatever it is that you are, but you do it with no strings attached and you do it without hesitation. And last but not least, you have been given a particular function. Just want to reiterate that. You have it. Each and every one of us, the Bible says there, whether you're a foot or a hand, whatever, you've been given a position. You've been given a purpose. You have been given something special and unique within the church, within the body of Christ. You know, it's funny because in all of the programs, software, or even in paper, for church administration, when you look at the church membership, it has active members, inactive members. And I want you to think about it. I think that's an oxymoron. Is there such a thing as an inactive member of the church? Really? Inactive member? What is an inactive member? Ones that don't show up very often? Ones that move away three cities away, but they still want to maintain the membership here because that was my churches. I was this big. Those who send their check in the mail, inactive members. I don't know. Is there such thing? I don't think in the eyes of Christ there's such a type of member. So that's why he exhorts us and he says, you know what? Be encouraged. You are part of the body, and as a part of the body, you have a function. You have something to do. You have something to offer. We need you. The body needs you. And everyone needs everyone. Each and every one of us. You've been given gifts. You've been given abilities. You've been given whatever skills God gave you in order to benefit the body. And let me tell you, I don't want to be short-handed. If you have a gift, I want you to exercise it. I want to enjoy it. I want to be benefited by it. And you too, you don't want to be short-handed when other people don't want to exercise their gifts. So, instead of asking what should or suggesting what the church should do, ask yourself what you should do. You should be a functioning member. I know that a few months ago, we had a visitor here that preached on evangelism, came to one of our fusion meetings, Dr. Rolando Lopez, and he used an illustration that I loved. And I know many of you have. How many of you have been on a cruise? Some of you are going on a cruise pretty quick. Yay! As a matter of fact, I've never been on a cruise. Never. Never. I've never been on a cruise. We've been talking about it and shopping around for the possibility of going on a cruise for our first time this year and at least taking like 5 days to try it out, right? But I know a lot of you love cruises, right? Some of you have done cruises together as a group and stuff. What is so cool about cruises? What is it that you like? I mean, I've never been on one, so Food. Plenty of food. You have to cook? Praise the Lord. You just get whatever you want, how much of it you want, however, and then you go to the room and say, I shouldn't have ate that. And then the next day you go do it all over again. Amen? Hallelujah. What else you like about a cruise? You don't have to drive nowhere. Forget the car. You can leave the car. Yeah. What else can you do on a cruise? Huh? No cleaning. They come and clean for you. Gosh, Ashley, that's awesome. I love that. There's so many things about a cruise, right? You can sleep and wake up whenever you want, unless mom and dad start bugging you, right? Yeah, I know. I know. But you can sleep to your content. You can run to your content. You can go to the pool. You can get on the slide. Now they have all these crazy slides all over the ship. It look like you're going to fall off of it. You can go to the deck and sunbathe. You can go catch a show. You can do whatever you want on a cruise ship and enjoy it. You paid your dues, and they all are there to what? To serve you. I've never been on a cruise. I never been on a cruise like that. But when I was in the Navy, I did a few cruises on an aircraft carrier. To get my meal served, I had to look at the boy's face and go, whenever he threw it on my plate. Whenever I got to the galley and picked up a fork for dinner, I always joked around and said, we're having steak and eggs. Why? Because they actually served me a piece of steak for dinner, but fork still had eggs from the morning in it because it wasn't washed properly. When you went to get your drink, so many choices. Bug juice, we called it. It was Kool-Aid. That's it. And it tastes like JP5. You know what JP5 is? Jet fuel. What a cruise. And I had to work 14 hours a day, minimum. That's the cruise I've been on. What kind of cruise do you think you're on when you come up here to this ship called church? You get my drift? Some people come to church to be served. Some even come to sleep and wake up whenever. But the truth is, we're not here paying for a cruise to enjoy. We're out here because we've been paid to serve in the kingdom of God, or on this ship called Kingdom of God. You're part of the crew, not the tourist. Amen? Now, I know, for example, I've heard through the grapevine that one of our families is going on a cruise today. And they're here. They wanted to take the word with them. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, while you're here, you're on the crew. So take advantage of this cruise while you're a tourist. Because when you come back, you'll be back on the crew. Put on the uniform, right? And let's get back to work. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. We're all church members. We're part of the crew in this kingdom. And we need to be doing something about it. Now, once again, to end it up. We all are all members. We are all functioning members. We all affect each other. We've talked about all of that. But the most important thing is to know, is verse 13, for by one Spirit we've all been baptized into one body. The Spirit of Christ, we've been baptized into this body. You belong to this body because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he paid the price for you and me. As a matter of fact, I always joke around and say, you know what? Serving the Lord is not the greatest pay, but the benefits are out of this world, literally.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.